Today's reading is Philippians 4, 2-9. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers, whose names are written in my book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
For those of you who don't know me, as you know, my name is David. I'm one of the elders here at Bourne Baptist Church. And thinking of prayer, you know, when Nick asked me to talk on prayer, you think, yeah, sure, have you got 6 weeks? You know, so much, isn't there? Such a wide subject. I thought of some of the prayers that children come up with. I wanted some inspiration. How about these for good prayers? Dear God, my mum tells me that you have a reason for everything on earth. I guess broccoli is one of your mysteries. Or this one. Dear God, I need you to make my mum so she's not allergic to cats. I really want a cat, and I don't really want to ask my mum to leave the house. Get your priorities right, absolutely. Or, dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Or finally, dear God, I've just sat my geography exam. Please, please let Rome be the capital of France. Well, we all come up with prayers, don't we? Different types of prayers, some which are likely to get answered and some, like the last one, no chance. And we wonder sometimes why our prayers don't get answered. So we are a people of prayer, or we should be, a people of prayer. Prayer is one of those subjects when you say to people, I'm going to preach on prayer, and they... oh, whatever. And it's not one of the most exciting things. But think of prayer like this. Prayer is having a one-to-one with the creator of heaven and earth. God Almighty wants to talk with you and for you to talk with him. Why is it not more important to us? Imagine you had a phone call one day and a very well-spoken person at the end of the phone said, hello, I have Her Majesty the Queen on the phone. Would you like to speak to her? You are not going to say no. Not likely, mate. I'm in the middle of a cup of tea. You're not going to say that. You're going to say, yes, what a thrill that is. And yet we have a red phone line to God Almighty, and we kind of shove it in the corner out of the way. So let's think about prayer. When I said to Rosie I was asked to speak about prayer, she reminded me really of an old hymn that she sung as a child, which says this: prayer is the soul's sincere desire. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire. So that's a challenge, isn't it, this morning? Is prayer our soul's real, sincere desire? Is it something we can't wait for? We just can't live without? Is that prayer to you, or is it just one of those things that you do when you need it? You know, it's like a first aid kit. It's there should you ever need it, and you'll use it when it's appropriate. So here we have Paul writing in Philippians to a church that at that time was going through some difficulties. Yet notice some of the words even in this passage. Rejoice, give thanks, have peace. In the middle of trouble and difficulty, a possible persecution, he wrote to them with those words. He also thanked them, of course, for a generous gift, and he updates them on the situation he's in. He gives them something to pray about. And he also encourages them on a few things, to stand firm, even in the face of persecution, to stand firm in unity, to be united one with the other, and also to recommend Timothy and Epaphroditus as they come to be with them, and warns them against those who are against the truth. Then we go on to chapter 4. And he starts chapter 4, verse 1, with an encouragement for the church to stand firm. He moves on to a further encouragement. But in between, we kind of missed those two verses. We didn't read them this morning. But there's obviously a bit of a problem. We did read them this morning. There's obviously a problem between two women who disagree with each other. Really? Does that ever happen? Move on quick. Anyway, here are these two women who obviously had been with Paul, they'd worked with Paul, they'd had a ministry, and yet somehow, even in that situation, they were disagreeing. And Paul's response is not, get rid of them, get them out of the way, they're causing a problem. His response was, work with them, help them to be united, because it appears that unity and prayer kind of goes together. Jesus tells us, doesn't it, that where two or three agree as touching one thing, that God will do it. Unity and prayer kind of go straight together. We are to be a people of prayer, not just a person of prayer. We work together, we agree together, not just on prayer, but in all our lives. So we move to these verses 4 to 9, where we start with the word rejoice. And in case you didn't hear it, he says, and again, I say rejoice. I always say when God says something once, it's to be listened to. When he says it twice, it really is important. Rejoice, again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't be anxious. In every situation, pray and know the peace of God. This progression that goes on from these two disagreeing women to moving forward, to be gentle, not being anxious, to pray, to know his peace, to pray, to have a conversation with God. There are actually four words here that talk about our prayer, aren't there? He uses the word prayer, which simply means a conversation with God, a prayer to God. Then he uses the word petition or supplication, depending what translation you have, which is a more general aspect of going to God or to others, to going towards him. Then we have the word requests, which is what it says, the contents, to bring to him what's on our hearts. And finally, with thanksgiving, giving God thanks for everything that he's done and for everything that you believe he's going to do in answer to your prayers. When we started this series of A People Of, Paul began it, and he mentioned, as he spoke from Acts chapter 2 and 4, it came up that there were people of prayer in both of those chapters. People were praying. So let's look at prayer. What does it mean to us today, this conversation with God, this drawing close to him? Well, we're going to look, first of all, at six very short things about prayer. In here, he talks about worship, praise and thanksgiving. We also need to think of confession and repentance, to come to him and just say what's on our hearts, not to dig down deep and think, what did I do 20 years ago that I need to dig out again? But where am I with God right now? Asking for our needs to be met, our requests, interceding for others and waiting and listening to God. I don't know if you've noticed, but it was drawn to my attention quite recently, there's an anagram of listen is silent. Isn't that interesting? An anagram of listen is silent. You can't listen unless you're quiet. You can't talk and listen too well at the same time. I'm a man, I can't do two things at once anyway. But there you are, you need to listen, be silent, be open to what God is saying. So where do we get prayer? Where does it appear in the Bible? Well, the first conversation we really have with man and God is in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve were found in the garden, and by that time they'd taken the fruit and they realized they were naked, and they confessed that to God. They had a conversation about it. Then a couple of verses later, we see that God was saying there would be enmity between their family, and that certainly happened. And we move forward and see that happening. But in Genesis chapter 4, 26, it says this: with all that going on, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. At that time, when things have got out of hand, and eventually we get that first prayer where it says, at that time, people began to call on the name of God. And we've been doing it since and going forward. And it's interesting to look through scripture and see how many people prayed. If you look at the great people, many people, most people in the Bible, they are praying. They are contacting God. So we're going to look at four things about prayer this morning and how it can affect us in our daily lives. The first thing I want us to think about then is praying ahead. Praying ahead. Not just waiting for things to happen, but in Philippians 4, the scripture read to us this morning, it says, the Lord is near. He'll guide you. The Lord is near. He's ready for us to pray even before, to commit the day to him. I trust you start your day in prayer. We do. It's important. And you say, well, I haven't got time. Listen, it's amazing what you can pray in 5 minutes. 5 minutes getting up 5 minutes earlier will not affect your day adversely. In fact, if you use that 5 minutes in prayer, it'll make a wonderful day. Just set ahead the day and say, Lord, whatever happens this day, I lay it in your hands. And the response to that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 is, the peace of God will give you, will be with you. You will have that peace of God to guard your hearts and mind. The Lord is near. He will guide your hearts and mind. He will guard your hearts and mind. He will be there. That word guard is an interesting one. It's a military term, and it literally means to stand guard, to stand there. You know, I've been to Buckingham Palace and I've seen the men stood there, and it doesn't matter what you do, you know, they are there, and you're not going to walk past them. You're not going to make them laugh. You're not have any effect on them. They are standing guard. They have a job to protect the Queen. And when we pray, the peace of God stands guard over our lives. We can know God's peace when we pray. He stands guard. But then in Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, let the peace of God rule in your lives. To rule. So he's standing guard over us, but he's ruling within us. Literally, he's governing. He's arbitrating. He's there. He's prevailing in that situation. But notice that this inner peace of verse 7 should have an outward expression. For it goes on 8 and 9, whatever is, and we have this list of pure, beautiful, and all these things, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's not just praying, it's living in our daily life in a way that pleases God, and the God of peace will be with you. You will know that peace when you're living in a way that's united with him. Prayer is something we need to be proactive ahead of time, not leaving it until it's too late. Or as a child once said, when someone said, let's pray, he said, is it that bad? So often we leave it till it's that bad. But to be proactive, to be praying ahead, to put things to God and to be ready for whatever comes, we're ready for it there. So what do we see in the Bible? In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And one thing he had to do was go to the king, for whom he was cupbearer, and ask his permission to go away and to build the walls of Jerusalem. Wanted time off. Wasn't as easy in those days. And the first thing he says is, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, Lord. The first thing he did before he went to the king, he was ready for that. He prayed ahead of time. And he said to be proactive in his prayer. He prayed that the Lord would make the way ready and that the Lord would prepare the king for his request. Moving into the New Testament in Colossians, Paul's writing to a new church in Colossae, and he says this, for this reason, since we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. As soon as he heard about this new church being established, they were praying, committing in prayer everything about this new church. Pray ahead. Be proactive. Don't wait for the problem. That's why when we drive, we put on our seatbelts. We're proactive. We're not waiting for a sudden stop. We're not waiting in case someone hits us. Oh, look, I've been hit. Let's put my seatbelt on. It's a bit late. I remember when that law first came. The very first day, I was staying with some people. I was away preaching, and they had their radio on. And on the radio news, they said that, that reports had come back that an elderly gentleman, for the first time in his life, put his seatbelt on. Because it was the law. He'd never used it before. And that day, his car turned upside down. He was proactive. He had his seatbelt on, ready. But secondly, there are times when we react to situation, to be proactive, to be reactive. When something happens, we pray ahead, and then also we pray in response. We pray in response to things that happen. We don't panic, Mr. Mannerering. We don't worry. We don't get in a flap, oh dear, what am I going to do? You know, the one thing that I often remember and brings me great joy and peace is that God is never surprised. We might be surprised and horrified, but God is never surprised. You know, when something happens, good or bad, God never says, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. What am I going to do now? He knew. He's ahead of things. But we need to be reactive in our prayer. Verse 6 says, don't be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Whatever situation you have, a call not to be anxious. At this time, the church had every reason, the church in Philippi had every reason to be anxious. They had difficulties, challenges. But God said, but Paul said, don't be anxious. Give it to God in prayer. Literally, don't worry. Or as one translation puts it, stop worrying. Stop worrying and pray about it. Do something. Or as Gerald Hawthorne puts it, the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. I like that. The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. And we have an example of this responsive prayer in the book of Joel, Joel chapter 1. And at that time, there was great devastation in the land, everything being destroyed, locusts and plagues like no other. Actually, that's quite relevant to us today, isn't it? Plague like we've never known before. And they were in this terrible situation. It was so terrible that even the oldest people, the elderly people, couldn't remember anything like it. They couldn't remember that sort of thing. I remember when I was growing up, and if anything happened, all I'd get from my parents is, oh, well, when we were in the war. But these people couldn't say that. They'd not seen anything so bad that Joel tells the people to pass on the story of this plague to their children so that the plague will not be forgotten. It was a terrible situation they were in. Those who get drunk with wine would not be able to because the locusts have destroyed the vineyards, we read. And from verse 13, Joel reveals this disaster is a judgment from God, that they are in a terrible situation because of their lives. Then Joel prays, chapter 1, 19 to 20, and he says this, to you, Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures in the wilderness and flames have burned up all the trees of the field. And he goes into prayer to God, and you read the book and go through. I won't tell you the ending. You can read it. No one wants to hear the ending of a good book. But God was there. You see, there was this prayer in reaction. What do we do when there's a situation? He says, to you, Lord, I call. The first reaction was to go into prayer. Don't panic. Pray about it. The third thing we know about prayer is that we remember that it's always time to pray. God is always ready for your prayers. Why wait until things get bad? And why just put it before God and forget about it. Now it's always time to pray. In Philippians 4, 6, in every situation by prayer, whatever. 1 Thessalonians puts it this way, chapter 5, 18, there it is. And he says, give thanks in all circumstances. There's a challenge. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is Christ's will for you, God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually, he says. Pray continually. I think prayer should be like breathing. You know, breathing is a natural thing. You don't get up in the morning and say, shall I breathe today? Don't know if I can be bothered to breathe. Bit of a tough thing to do. Perhaps today I'll go without breathing. I don't recommend it, by the way. It won't do you any good at all. You don't. You just breathe. You don't ask about it. You don't think about it. You don't know you're breathing right now. I can assure you, you are. You're still here. You're with us. You're breathing. You just do it. That's what prayer should be like. We just kind of pray. Doesn't mean to say you always kneel down with your hands together. That could be difficult when you're driving a car. I don't recommend that either. But it means that in the back of your mind, in your heart, present, like breathing, is prayer. It's just there. It's part of you. I've noticed just recently, I'm a bit like Paul, not as bad as Paul. Paul tells you you don't want to be in his mind. It's a messy place. Well, I'm a kind of lean towards that myself. My mind can be a little messy at times. Not, I don't think as messy as yours. but my mind can get full of all sorts of things. But I've noticed recently, I find myself singing a new song to God in the background. Often I am thinking of other things, like how can I get out of Sunday? I'm preaching at Bourne Baptist Church. But sometimes you're thinking about other things. But then in the quiet moments, I find I'm just singing a new song. You really don't want to hear it, but it's going through my mind. It's not a song you would want to sing. The tune perhaps is very repetitious, and the words are too. But there, it's just kind of ticking. I hadn't noticed that before. We need that constant prayer just in my mind. That's not to boost that and say, I've got it right. I'm sure I haven't. But I just noticed that it happened. And that's what we need to develop more of. Daniel, of course, in Daniel 6, knew what it was to pray always. He always prayed before the day, he always prayed during the day, and he always prayed whatever the day held, even if for him it meant a trip to a den to lions. Now, when I were a lad, a trip to lions meant Lions Corner House, which was a cafe and a cup of tea. But it didn't mean that for him. For Daniel, it meant that he faced being torn apart. He knew that praying, but notice what it says. He prayed as he always prayed. He just prayed. It wasn't just a sudden prayer because there's a problem. He just prayed, as was his custom. And of course, God delivered him. We go back again to Nehemiah, who always prayed to God. Notice some of his arrow prayers, the prayers he just shot up to God. In Nehemiah 2, verse 4, he says this, the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to God in heaven. Remember, he'd already prayed before he went to the king, but now he's praying while he's with the king, before and during. And then in chapter 4, verse 9, we prayed to God and posted a guard day and night. Nehemiah 6, verse 9, they were all trying to frighten us. Thinking their hands will get too weak for their work and it will not be completed. But, says Nehemiah, I prayed, now strengthen my hands. When others wanted their hands and were expecting their hands to be so weak they couldn't build, his response was, I pray that my hands will be strengthened. Ready, praying, always time to pray. And of course, we always have that supreme example, don't we? That perfect example of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, who was always praying, always in prayer. Whatever the situation, you know, if someone saw someone blind, he prayed for them. Deaf, he prayed for them. Lame, he prayed for them. Dead, he prayed for them. You know, sometimes when people are talking to me, and I'm sure you've had this too, you know, people share things and you'll say, well, I'll pray about it. They're quite surprised. I said one time when I was on the phone and someone said a situation, I said, let's pray about it. And said, well, on the phone? Yeah, God's connected to the phone. That doesn't worry him. We can pray about it anytime, day or night. Now, I haven't got prayer right. I don't pray as I ought to. But I'm trying to get there. That should be our desire. And fourthly, our last thought is that in all prayer, we need to be yielding to God, submitting to God, whatever he says. Verse 9 of chapter 4 of Philippians, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put into practice, yielding to God, whatever he says. James 4, verse 7 comes up with a similar thought where he says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yielding ourselves and saying, Lord, whatever you want to do in this situation, you know, it's like those prayers that we had from the children, you know, God's not going to answer some of those prayers. He can't make Rome the capital of Paris, no matter how hard that child prays. Sometimes we pray and say, like Jesus did. I love that prayer of Jesus in the garden. Lord, if it be Father, if it be possible, if it be possible, whatever, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Get me out of this. I don't want to go through with this. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours. What a way to pray, yielded to God. So we pray waiting on God, listening to God, being yielded to God. Now, recently, throughout this coronavirus crisis, the government have used the traffic light systems, haven't they? They are doing now, of course, for travel abroad. So if the government can do it, I can do it. Traffic lights. So often we sometimes get a red traffic light where God says, this is not an open door for you. And sometimes we think, absolutely it is. Don't you understand, Lord? This really is. I know this call of Barbados is from you. I know it is. I'm sure it is. And God says, no, I want you to go to some troubled spot. No, that's not right, God. No, you've got that wrong. Sometimes God says, no, he stops us. He did it in the Bible where an angel stopped them on the way. Did it to Balaam where a donkey spoke to him and said, just stop. I mean, wouldn't that surprise you? Can you imagine you're driving along the car and all of a sudden the car stops, the bonnet opens and the car says, look here, mate, you ain't going anywhere. I mean, that would get your attention, wouldn't it? Sometimes God says, no, it's not right for you. So we have to submit to what God is saying. Stop right there. We don't like, you know, sometimes we say we don't like unanswered prayer. No prayer is unanswered. There's no such thing as unanswered prayer. But there are some times when God answers our prayer with, not just now, this isn't the way for you. I read this by Sue Bolin, and she says these words. Sometimes God will say no to our prayers, but God's no is not rejection, but redirection. God's no is not punishment, it's preparation. God's no will sometimes bring greater glory to God. God's no opens an adventure with God. Don't you like that? God's no will open an adventure with God. Sometimes, of course, it's wait. This isn't the time for you. Perhaps not just yet. I know that many times when I've prayed and I know it's right. Just hold back. I'll open the door when it's ready. Don't go now. It won't work if you go now. You've got to wait. You've heard me before tell of a story when God appeared to be opening a door for us to minister at a particular church. And the door seemed to be wide open and we sensed it was right. And then all of a sudden it stopped. The door just closed. Situation at the church changed. It wasn't they didn't want me. The situation changed. Then the minister was about to leave, decided to stay. The church felt it was right. And the door closed. And you kind of think, what's all this about, Lord? I really felt you were saying this was an open door. And now it's closed. There's no way I can go there. What are we going to, you know, what's all that mean? Time goes on and it, you know, kind of, but it's always there, isn't it? 9 years later, I became the pastor of that church. 9 years I had to wait. But God was preparing me while I pastored another church and God led us in that way. But 9 years later, God led us there. But sometimes, of course, we like that one, don't we? Go ahead. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way for you. When everything is in place and God opens that door, it's absolutely right. This is the time for you to go through. So what about prayer for us? What does prayer mean for Bourne Baptist Church? Are we a people of prayer? Really? Praying in advance, praying during, praying in preparation, praying in response, being yielded to Christ. So what can keep us from prayer? Perhaps it can be apparent unanswered prayers in the past, but we know that God always answers, just that it may have been a no. Maybe we think it doesn't make a difference because of that, or it takes too much time and effort to pray. 5 minutes, I mean, I could have a cup of tea. You can drink and pray, by the way. Or I've just got out of the habit, or it's never really been part of my life. Or we don't think God's interested in your prayer or interested in you. Listen, if that's your reason for not praying, God is interested in you. He wants to hear your prayers. He really, really does. There is a point in praying. Read about Abraham in Genesis 18 as he prays for Sodom, or Moses on the Mount of God as he intercedes to God that he won't destroy his people in Exodus 32. But always pray. Many years ago, we used to go to God opened trip in a miraculous way for us to go to America to do a preaching tours over there. And I shared this with the church. I was not the senior pastor at the time. And we shared with the church that this is what we'd be doing for the next 6 months, with the church's blessing, that we would be going over to America, and I appreciate your prayers for that trip. And some good friends of ours afterwards said, well, you know, we're going to miss you for 6 months, but be assured of our prayers. We'll be praying for you. You know, we're really, every day we're going to be praying for you, for God's blessing, and that he'll use you. And that'd be really wonderful. Look forward to seeing you. So 6 months later, we returned to the church, saw our friends, who turned around to us and said, I haven't seen you for ages. Where have you been? Really praying for me? Perhaps they weren't. Obviously not. They didn't know where we'd been. That wonderful scripture where Jesus says he's praying for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. And he never forgets us. Isn't that wonderful? So some challenges and ideas as we bring this to a close. Do you pray at home regularly with your family, if that's possible? Your spouse? For and with your children? Bedtime reading can also be a bedtime prayer, even if it's a short one. Do we say grace around the table? We pray, don't we? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But do we thank him for it? It's good to do that. It's good to give thanks to God and to say grace, in or to thank him in every situation. Where we live, we can often hear sirens going. It's a good time to offer up a quick prayer. Lord, you know the situation that's involved here, and pray for that situation. You don't know what it is, but God does. Using the Bourne Baptist Church address sheet and maybe praying for two people every day, go through the list. The requests on our news sheet to read and to pray about them. They're not just there to fill a gap. Margaret puts them there for a reason, that we may pray. Or to get prayer, and prayer from the news sheet, or even to contact a ministry that we're interested in. Ask them if they've got a prayer letter they can send you to pray through regularly. Pray for the leadership here. You know, leadership is not that easy. It's a challenge. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray perhaps in spiritual warfare. We heard it in our lovely prayers from Zoe about putting on the armor of God, and the weapons of our warfare that we fight with are not weapons of the world. They have divine power. That's 2 Corinthians 10:4. The armor of God, of course, in Ephesians 6. God wouldn't say these things if we weren't in spiritual warfare. Sometimes we need to fight in prayer. Many years ago, we had a phone call at one of our ladies. Her sister had been rushed to hospital, and there was 10% chance of her surviving the problem that she had had. 10%. And even if she did, she wouldn't be up to much. And the sister rung up, terrible situation, will you pray? And I put the phone down. I started to get angry. I mean, really angry, not with the lady who rung, but with the enemy or with the sickness, put it how you like. But I started to get angry about this. So I walked up and down a little bit and got angry and prayed and prayed in tongues and did a bit of struggling. And I rung round people and said, look, can you ring up these people? We're going to pray. And everyone in our church started praying for this person. A few days later, not only did that lady survive, but the doctor, who was of a different faith to ours, he went up to her and said, this can only be a miracle. And that lady went on to live many years, a good, active life. But boy, we had to get angry. We had to fight. It wasn't, Lord, just bless her. Now, where was I in the TV program? What book was I reading? Where's my dinner? No, it took a bit of effort. Sometimes we need to do that. Watch the news and pray about that too. But the wonderful thing is, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us approach the throne of God with confidence. We can have confidence and boldness when we go to God. So to sum up, we need to be proactive in our prayer. We need to be reactive in our prayer. We need to be always in tune with God in our prayer. We need to be yielded in our prayer. That's the way we pray. Are we a people of prayer? Are we really a people of prayer, or are we just a people who pray? There's a difference. We might be a people who pray, but are we a people of prayer? A people who's, you know, we need prayer to be just part of our lives. This passion for the presence of God in every situation, oozing out of every bit of our body. That's prayer, not just polite praying. Are we really a people of prayer? Let's pray. Father, it's a challenge to us to be a people of prayer, not just the people who pray, the people whose lives are just oozing in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come boldly in prayer. Nothing holds us back from prayer. Father, lead us in our prayer life, that we will indeed be proactive, reactive in every area of our lives and be yielded to you, always in prayer. Father, stir our hearts to pray, we ask. Lord, may this morning challenge and change our prayer lives. In Jesus' name, amen.